There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Talking to John, who is down at the air show today, we'll talk about what he's been looking at, who he's been talking to. John, if we'd have known that you were going to spend the whole day in Dubai, we could have furnished you with a delightful cup of tea and a little sit down in our studio. If that's even what you do with tea, I don't know.
Well, I had a few espressos in the Emirates pavilion there, trying to do the different interviews that we got today, and I've had ample caffeine. We're in good shape. And I stayed the night in Dubai last night, so you should offer dinner. I'll hold that to you next time.
Well, there you go. So, good to have you on. I wanted to start, actually. Richard Dean from the Business Breakfast, who you know well, has been there as well. He has been talking to a number of people. How much of a curveball, and I asked Rich this earlier on, how much was a curveball of a curveball was it that the big Emirates announcement today was Boeing and not Airbus?
Well, you know, there was a lot of drama at the very end. So just for some kind of inside baseball, I had approached Sir Tim Clark because we had an interview set for around 2 o'clock, and he came to open the new 777 first-class suite, which is pretty impressive. And I said, okay, I hope we're still planning the interview at 2. Was it live, John? Because we're still working on things. And I thought, oh, that's on. And then I spoke to the global head of marketing and communications, Boutros Boutros, who said, look, we were working on that deal with Boeing to the very last 15 minutes. And in fact, the head of communications as well, Valerie Tan, was suggesting they had 5 different versions of the press release. That gives you a sense of how much it went down to the very wire. So it was Boeing first. And then when I was doing the interview with Boeing afterwards, they were showing a story to each other saying that Airbus was still working on their transaction. So it's interesting, isn't it, that they were trading off, fiercely competing to the very last minute who was going to get it first. And I tell you, the Emirates deal went down to the last quarter hour before they announced it. So you didn't know if the press conferences could happen or not. Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid came in, His Highness, at the very last minute, went upstairs to kind of anoint the deal. And then we were fortunate enough to have him stop before he went in the lift to go back down after the press conference to do about a two-minute interview with us exclusively. And you know what? This is kind of classic Dubai during a weakness period. They only had 2% passenger growth last year, Tim. So for them to double down during the most challenging times in years says something, because they think that the growth is there. And they went with the 787 because it goes long distances, but it holds about 300 passengers. So it's fuel efficient, goes long distance, gets you into new destinations at a lower cost. But they think there's growth to come in the near future. They're starting to take those planes in 2022. So it's not like they get delivery right away, but they're planning for the next 5 years, obviously.
And John, what did he have to say about the deal? I know you had an exclusive chat. So anything that you can give us about what he said?
Well, one thing that I thought was interesting, Natalie, and those at Emirates Airlines suggested the same, the growth in passenger numbers in the Dubai airports are growing double digits still. The passenger growth for Emirates, Etihad, and Qatar, with the major Gulf connectors, have been growing single digits. So the competition's increasing. They're still using Dubai as their hub, but you know, Air India has ordered a lot of planes. Iranian Airways is ordering planes, hasn't seen the deliveries yet. Turkish Airways has nearly a fleet of 400 planes. So the emerging market carriers of the Middle East, South Asia, are rising, and there's a lot of competition. So the yields are dropping. The Gulf carriers have gone through this transition. It's a challenging period. But what the order was suggesting today, and probably an order for tomorrow from what Tim and Richard are talking about here, is that they have confidence that they can adjust the fleet, adjust the size of the planes, open new destinations, and get back to growth. But the destinations are still growing here. There's just a lot, many, many more carriers coming in. So the competition is quite fierce, and they acknowledge it.
John, what about Sir Tim Clark's view on what is, I suppose, fair to say, a changing marketplace?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Tim. You know, I'm sure you saw it late Thursday. They produced a profit of $452 million. So he says, look, we've gotten better at tonight what I like to call, and I wrote a column on this recently, constant chaos. So, you know, the economic embargo on Qatar. You've had terrorist attacks in European cities. You had the laptop ban. I could list a long list of items that have been challenges for all the different carriers. He said, look, we've gotten a lot better at dealing with what you're suggesting is the chaos. It happens to come when you have competition coming on board, but we were able to adapt, squeeze costs, put planes on different routes, change the size of different planes on those routes, and squeeze out a profit. Don't forget, they had profits dropped in the previous 6 months by 80%. So the turnaround is impressive, but it took a lot of work to get there. And they were throwing everything and the kitchen sink, as we say, in the American vernacular. They had to deal with a lot, but then they adapted to it and came out of it on the other side. And he said, look, we're not rolling over. The 777 with a suite is an indication of a new product we're putting on the market. The 787 orders for 5 years from now, indication that we think this is a plane that helps us save costs, opens up new routes, counters the competition that's coming from Asia going to Europe and vice versa. The other trend I think we should watch out for, and they all suggested it, is the long-haul, low-cost carriers coming in out of Asia that want to hop right over the Middle East. So it's not an easy market, and they're suggesting, look, we acknowledge it's not an easy market. Are we going to continue to grow? Absolutely. Did we hit the pause button with 2% passenger growth for Emirates? Absolutely. You know, Etihad's going through a restructuring. Qatar Airways is dealing with an embargo. So a very difficult time for the Gulf carriers. I think the indication of the orders we saw today, yes, they like the product. It's good technology, saves them money on the routes. And yes, they see a comeback in a short window of time.
And finally, John, how do you think the uncertainty in Saudi Arabia is likely to affect growth on those big three airlines?
Well, you know, it's a question I posed to Sir Tim, Natalie. He said, look, I don't want to get into the politics of it. He said, that's a pretty robust market. Not only because it's 30 million consumers and growing fast, the religious tourism to Mecca and Medina remains strong no matter what's going on. And he says, look, the economic reforms are positive. He didn't want to comment on what we've seen in terms of the corruption crackdown. But I said, we have to acknowledge this. And then my question to him, there is no growth in Saudi Arabia right now. And I think the real danger here, and this is me speaking and not them, is that, you go that aggressively on the crackdown of corruption, people think there are other motivations, perhaps, behind it. It's widely common in the international community. That presents downside risk to growth. I mean, the IMF is suggesting no growth this year. I think you could have the same in 2018 if you get that deer in the headlights response from businesses and consumers because they don't know what's going to happen next. So economic reforms are good. The opening up of kind of a moderate Saudi Arabia, moderate Islam, as the Crown Prince has suggested, Mohammed bin Salman. And then the third leg of cracking down on corruption. So they need to give some clarity where this corruption investigation is going. They said it was phase one. You got to have some daylight of how many different phases exist, if you know what I mean, because that's going to impact growth next year and the year after that as well.
All right. John Defterios from CNN at Dubai Air Show today. John, appreciate you talking to us. Always good to have you on.
Take care. Speak to you next week.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.